A very good afternoon. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Kuf Yud Tes, Amud Beis, Yevamos 119b, about halfway down on the page, Masnisin, a Mishnah, pagination is 238. We're dealing with a case of Shtei Yevamos, sisters-in-law. Let's be very specific. We have an example. Reuven and Shimon, who are brothers, marry two unrelated women. Reuven marries a woman by the name of Rachel. Shimon marries a woman by the name of Esther. We have a rule that we encountered in the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin 117, which told us that Rachel is not allowed to testify on the death of Shimon, and Esther is not allowed to testify on the death of Reuven. Even though each one is allowed to testify on the death of her own husband, and she would be permitted to go ahead with Yibum with her brother-in-law based on her testimony that her own husband is dead, but we do not accept her testimony regarding the sister-in-law by way of brothers through a father, common father. And the reason was, which we did not elaborate much over there, was because each one is worried, she eyes that sister-in-law as a potential co-wife, because she knows that if the brother-in-law dies without children, that woman would be eligible for Yibum with her husband and would end up as a co-wife. So she might have a hidden agenda to destroy that potential. And one of the ways that she could destroy that potential is to prematurely say testimony that her brother-in-law is dead. Her sister-in-law will then be eligible for Yibum or Chalitza. If she plays her cards right and she has a really good influence on her husband at the time that the Yibum Chalitza decision has to be made, she'll convince her husband to do Chalitza with this woman and she'll be done with her forever. She'll never end up with that woman as a co-wife once Chalitza is done. Tosfos over there points out, and even if her husband decides to do Yibum with that woman, and they will be co-wives quite directly by the fact that she said testimony that the brother-in-law is dead, but, says Tosfos, if she knows or suspects that the brother-in-law is really alive, she's anticipating his grand entry into town, at which time she will have successfully pushed this sister-in-law out of this potential of becoming her co-wife. In other words, this threat of the woman becoming her co-wife is so significant that she's willing to even accept her as a co-wife for a period of time, anticipating that once everything becomes clear, she'll be forbidden to her husband. A little bit like an expression of all's well that ends badly, or something like that. So we are concerned that there might be an ulterior motive going on, and we will not accept the testimony of Rachel on her brother-in-law, and therefore influencing the situation and status of her sister-in-law, because we know that there's something potentially going on there, because that woman has the potential of becoming her co-wife. Let's look at our Mishnah. Shtei Yevamos, two sisters-in-law. Zu Omeres, this one says, Meis Baili, my husband died. Vezu Omeres, Meis Baili, and this one says, my husband died. Zu Asura, Mepnei Bailo Shal Zu, Vezu Asura, Mepnei Bailo Shal Zu. In a normal case, saying that her husband died would free her and allow her to get married lashuk to anybody. In this case, however, since they're sisters-in-law, that means there's the question of a brother-in-law being alive, and therefore once she frees herself from her own husband, which is believed, she's now in a situation of possible connection with her brother-in-law, and we don't know whether the brother-in-law is alive or not. In other words, to the sister-in-law who's saying testimony that her husband is dead, well, we believe her that her husband is dead as far as it affects her. But as far as it affects the sister-in-law, this is one of the cases that we do not trust her testimony to free a different woman from a potential marriage or an actual marriage. We don't trust her as it's relevant to the sister-in-law. And therefore, in our case, Rachel can say that her husband Reuven is dead, and that would free her from Reuven. But she's now waiting for Yibum or Chalitza from Shimon. And the fact that Esther says that her husband Shimon is dead does not help Rachel, because we said that you can't say testimony for the benefit of the sister-in-law, the woman who could have become your co-wife, and therefore there's a vulnerability there. Maybe you're trying to mess her up. The Mishnah continues and says, "Lizu Edim v'lizu ein Edim." Let's say one of the sisters-in-law has witnesses that her husband is dead, and the other sister-in-law does not have witnesses, and she simply wants to be freed based on her own say-so that her husband has passed away. So, in really simple logic, we would have thought that the woman who has testimony is going to end up going more free because she's got more proof. But because this is a more confusing case, because it includes Yibum, it's actually going to be the opposite. Because the woman who doesn't have witnesses on the death of her own husband, that doesn't bother us as far as she goes, because a woman is believed regarding her own husband that her husband is dead. But when it comes to the other woman's husband, meaning the brother-in-law, the potential yavam of this woman, she herself doesn't know if he's dead or not. And the only person who's saying that he's dead is the sister-in-law. That leaves her in a difficult, unresolved position, because we do not trust the sister-in-law on the death of her own husband as far as it affects the sister-in-law. Let's look at it again. Luzu Edim v'luzu Ein Edim. If one of them has witnesses and one of them does not have witnesses, es sheyesh la Edim asura. The one who has witnesses is going to remain forbidden, because the witnesses on the death of her own husband wasn't the real big thing that we needed from her, because she's believed on the death of her own husband. It was the death of the brother-in-law that we were looking for verification on, and over there, there's no witnesses. There's only the testimony of his own wife, which does not help us regarding the sister-in-law. And the woman who does not have witnesses regarding the death of her own husband, mutares, she will be permitted to get married out into the world, because the death of her own husband is something that we believe her on, and the death of the brother-in-law, there were witnesses for in this case, and therefore she's able to go free. Let's skip a line and conclude the case. Nisyavmu. Let's say there was a third brother, we'll call him Levi, and they did Yibum with this other brother, Umesu Hayavmin. And then Levi, or Levi and Yehuda, however you want to play the case out, but they did Yibum, and then those brothers died without children. The rule is, Asuros Lehinose. They will be forbidden from getting remarried, because this new Yibum situation is ending with in the case of the Mishnah, no children to the Yavam. And therefore, there's another case being presented here, once again, of Yibum. And we don't know for a fact whether those original husbands had truly passed away. And therefore, if they want to claim, well, we can go free because there are no brothers with him to do Yibum, each one is not able to say that in a provable way regarding the brother-in-law. Each one was believed regarding their own husband, and they were therefore able to do Yibum with a different brother. But if now they want to go free from the Yavam, from Levi and Yehuda, on the claim that Reuven and Shimon are for sure dead, we don't really know that. We only knew that each woman regarding her own husband. In Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber points out that if Levi and Yehuda would have children, then these women would go free. Because the only reason they're not going free is because they would be going free because there are no remaining brothers. And we don't know that for a fact. But if they're going free because their current husband has children, then indeed they would be able to go free, even though in the original situation there still is unverified information, but we were able to work around it by having them do Yibum with a different existing brother, and from there they go free if Levi Yehuda, the brothers that do Yibum, indeed have children. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.